Well, folks, it's great to be here again and just to be able to connect with you in these days. Does there seem to be any hope as we're looking forward? Or is there anything to be thankful for? I mean, as we watch TV, listen to the radio, or go on the internet, we hear of the horrendous reports day after day of how the coronavirus continues to spread across our nation and around the world, with thousands, actually hundreds of thousands of infected people and tens of thousands who've died from it. We are called to stay home unless it is essential, even though we are built for relationship. I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that this is not the norm. It doesn't excite me at all. I want to be with family and friends and with the church, with you folks. I want to hug people. I want to shake hands. I want to talk to people. I want to connect with people. I just want to be with people. For many, the coronavirus has just compounded the struggles they already have in life. People are finding it hard to be filled with any hope or thanksgiving at this time. Because of this, I'd like us to take some time this morning to look at Psalm 30, which is written by David. So let's start with the first few verses, and you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 30. We want to start with looking at verses 1 to 3. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down to the pit. David is giving us a very clear picture here that he is struggling with some kind of situation. We're not sure what the situation is. We're not told what it is, but it's pretty severe. In fact, some presume that it's an illness, a severe illness, one so severe that he's on the edge of death. The original wording of the phrase, "You lifted me out of the depths," gives us a picture of one pulling another up toward them, as the wording is the same as one drawing water out of a well with a rope and a bucket. One commentator saw it as one pulling a person in danger of drowning out of the raging waters with the aid of a rope. Isn't that what our Heavenly Father is like? In the midst of the storm, when everything seems to be raging around us, He is there to pull us out of the danger, out of the muck and the mire. Jesus is there to lift us up, but He's not only there to lift us up, but He draws us to Himself at the same time. It's just not a matter of picking us up, but it's bringing us to Himself at the same time. It doesn't matter if it's during the coronavirus or some other situation, the Father is there to rescue His children, to draw them up and lift them to Himself. The severity of David's situation is emphasized even more in the third verse with the use of the phrase going down into the pit. The Hebrew word for pit is Sheol, which means the grave or the abode of the dead. The picture here is that there is a line of people waiting to enter Sheol, and David was plucked out of that line by God. again. What another amazing picture the Heavenly Father gives us here. It's a picture of Him when we are lost in sin and heading to the bottom of the pit. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on our behalf, to die for us. The Lord plucked us, as it were, out of death and gave us life, out of the darkness and brought us into the light. We can only imagine how David was feeling as he faced this life-threatening trial. We just read that there were even those who were going to gloat at his situation. And that's all something for another sermon some other day. But David knows his God and exalts Him for healing him and lifting him out of the pit. He doesn't just take it all for granted and go, oh, well, that's just life. But he realizes God has been there in the midst of it all and has answered his prayers. He is just filled with hope and thanksgiving. Listen to what he writes in the next verses, in verses 4 and 5. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. You can just hear David getting excited here about the hope and the thanksgiving that he has. You can just hear him saying, come on, can't you see what the Lord is doing? Do you see the hope here? Do you see that the Father has rescued us? Stand to your feet, lift up your hands, everyone. Sing with me, sing at the top of your lungs with songs of hope and thanksgiving. Here David is encouraged and encouraging others to join him in singing praise and giving thanks to the Lord. He says the Lord's anger only lasts for a moment. The Lord's anger can be caused by a number of things. It could be caused by their misdeeds, their sins, or it could just be the suffering world. No matter what the cause is, the Lord's anger will come to an end, David says. David says that anger is only a moment in time compared to the Lord's favor that lasts a lifetime. The word favor here means the act of accepting with approval. The favor, this accepting with approval from the Lord, lasts a lifetime. It is like when I was young and did those things my parents told me not to do. They were angry with me, and there usually was punishment that followed. But the anger and punishment only lasted a moment, even though I didn't think it was only a moment, but it only lasted a moment compared to the love they poured out on me. Through it all, my parents always approved of me. They didn't approve of what I had done, but they accepted me. Their approval lasted a lifetime. As long as they lived, they continually poured out their love and their approval on me. Isn't that what our Heavenly Father is like? He doesn't approve of our sin. In fact, He's upset with our sin. He gets frustrated with our sin. But He's always there with accepting love for us as His children. That's exactly what Jesus was saying in the parable of the prodigal son. Our Heavenly Father is always there waiting with open arms. I mean, he's upset with what we've done and what's gone wrong, what we've done wrong. But he never changes. His unfailing love is there for us. The prodigal son went away the father wasn't happy that the son had taken his inheritance and gone and squandered it in another land. But that didn't take his approval and his love away from his son. We read in that parable that the father was there waiting, looking, hoping that his son would always come home. His unchanging love never failed for him. And God's unchanging love never fails, never changes for us as well. That David nails home the point with the fact that we might go through weeping, sorrow, and pain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. This is so comforting for all of us. We are going to go through struggles, through tough times, uncertain times, maybe mourning and maybe weeping and pain as well, but they will all eventually come to an end. They will come to an end as surely as morning will come after night. I mean, just take a moment and think about it. Is there ever been a nighttime where morning didn't follow? Of course not. Morning always comes after night. David is saying there will never be a night of weeping and sorrow where it will not at some point end. And that end will be with rejoicing. The end might not come soon enough for us, when we think it should come, but it will come, and at that time there will be rejoicing. He again is declaring there is hope, and that we need to continue to offer thanksgiving to the Lord both now, in the midst of the trial, whether it's the coronavirus or anything else, we need to see that there's hope in the midst of it, and especially we need to rejoice when the trial comes to the end. David goes on to write about his experience. He writes in verse 6 and 7, "When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed." David recognizes when he walks in his own ways, when he goes about doing things on his own, when he removes himself from the Lord's presence, God's favor is not on him. In a sense, he's hidden himself from the Lord. When that happens, David is dismayed. The Hebrew word here for dismayed means filled with alarm or filled with terror. Yet he knows that when he turns back to the Lord, when he turns and faces the Lord, when he's in the Lord's presence, he is secure. He mentions the Lord's favor again here. David states that when God's favor, his accepting approval, is on him, he is like an unshakable mountain. He is the rock, he is the solid ground that David is standing on. I think most of us can relate to this picture which David paints here with his words. Have we not thought all is lost and there's terror on every side when we have walked in our own ways, in those ways which we know God is not pleased with, or just when we have left the Lord out of the picture. Yet again, when we repent, when we turn to God, we walk in the Father's favor. We walk in His accepting approval. When we are in the Father's accepting approval, we feel secure and we feel like He's right there with us, guiding us, watching over us. This too produces hope in all circumstances and thanksgiving to Jesus for the security and the favor we have in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the struggle. He gives us all that. David realizes that he has nothing in himself to keep him going or to keep him on track with the Lord. He writes in verses 8 and 10, or 8 to 10, "To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help." David writes that he called out, that he cried to the Lord for mercy. The ESV Bible translation uses a word that he plead for mercy. We are left with another picture, a picture of David pleading with the Lord because he knows there is no good thing in him, because he knows he can't do it on his own. He needs the Lord at all times. We are all sinners, and we've all messed up. We've all fallen short of God's glory. In fact, even the best we have is of no value. Like Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 64, 6, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sin sweeps us away." David realizes this. He knows without coming to the Lord, without crying and pleading for mercy, there is no hope. He can't make it. Hope only comes from knowing the Lord is merciful to each one of us as we call out to our Heavenly Father. He is faithful to pour that mercy on us when we call with hearts to Him. David gives us one more picture in Psalm 30. Listen to the words of verses 11 and 12. "You turn my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." At the beginning of the psalm, David said things were really bad, and that they were so bad that he was on the edge of death. And maybe that's what caused him to cry out in mourning and to even put on sackcloth. But now he sees the hope there is in the Lord, and that wailing is turned into dancing, and he is filled with joy. He is not just singing the happy song. He's not just singing any old joyous song. David is singing songs to the Lord, songs filled with hope, songs filled with thanksgiving forever. Can you again see David with his hands lifted up, twirling around and dancing and singing to the Lord? He might be in the midst of a huge trial and maybe even facing death at this point. But because he sees the hope, he can lift his hands and dance and sing to the Lord. He is filled with so much hope, filled with so much thanksgiving. Do you know the truth is, our situation is no different than David's. Things can look bleak. They can look dark. In fact, they can be downright pitch black. But as sure as morning will appear after night, the end of our trials will come. Again, I say it might not be when we think it should happen, but the Lord is in control and it will happen. This will come to an end, whatever our trial, whatever our situation might be. There is hope in the midst of our trials, our circumstances. God is God, and as we rest in His favor, His approving acceptance is on us. We can have hope as we are secure. We will be like that unshakable mountain. We will be on the solid rock. We will be on a solid foundation and not moved. Now, in these unprecedented times, and always, may we let hope arise from the depths of our heart and sing with thanksgiving to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that there is hope. There is hope. No matter what we face, there is hope. Because you are the hope of glory. You are the one that brings the hope. You are the one who looks upon us with favor as we turn our hearts from looking away to turning our hearts to looking toward you. You are the one that fills us with favor. You're the one that sets us on the solid rock and gives us security. Father, and because of that hope, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and praise to you. Lord, may we be like David. May we be filled with thanksgiving. May we be filled with singing. May we be dancing before you. May we rejoice always. For things might happen for a nighttime, and they might seem long, and the night might seem like it never's going to end, but morning will come, and we will rejoice. We will be excited in you and in you alone, for you are the hope that we have. Lord, I pray that you would continue to minister to the folk of our church, that you would continue to minister to those in our communities, Lord, to those who might not see any hope at this time, and you would show them that there is a hope in you. Father, use us as the church, whether it's Crossroads or Sage Hills or any other church, Lord, use us as the church to reveal your hope, so others will be filled with thanksgiving and give you glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.